Welcome to an original musical production for the Easter season, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves, a multi-part story of the light that could not be overcome, told through the eyes of the one who never looked away. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Part 16.
The tomb was sealed. The stone was rolled into place with a thunderous finality. We stood there in the dusk, Mary, mother of Jesus, the other women and I, watching as all our hope was wrapped in linen and laid on a cold stone slab. Sabbath began, not with rest, but with sorrow, with silence. We hid behind locked doors, afraid, ashamed, shattered. The man who called us, who taught us, who loved us with every breath was gone. The Sabbath dragged on like no other. Time itself seemed to mourn. I thought about words that Jesus had spoken, and I began to wonder. I began to hope against hope.
We are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered. They will condemn him to death. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again.
Mary, why are you pacing so much?
Salome, as soon as the Sabbath is over, at first light, we'll go to the tomb. He deserves that.
Even if it's dangerous?
He gave everything for us. We won't abandon him now. Several of the other women are bringing spices.
You've spoken to them?
Yes, and they've all agreed that we will go together to anoint the body. We didn't really get the chance to do that on Friday.
How are we going to remove the stone?
We can ask the guards to help us.
At dawn on the first day of the week, before the sun had fully broken the horizon, Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb. I did not go with her, not yet. But when she came running back, breathless, trembling, her face pale, I knew something had changed.
They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've laid him.
What do you mean?
The tomb is empty.
Peter, something's happened. Let's go to the tomb at once. Come on. We ran. I outran Peter and reached the tomb first, but I didn't go in.
John, why are you standing here?
Peter stepped inside. I followed. There it was, the linen cloth, folded, the strips that had wrapped his body, untouched, undisturbed. But he was not there. I believed. I didn't yet understand, but I believed. We returned to the house, our minds racing, but Mary stayed.
Why? Why couldn't they leave him in peace?
Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?
Sir, if you've taken him, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.
Mary.
Rabboni.
He called her name, and in that moment, everything changed.
Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them this, the tomb is empty. Death has been swallowed up in victory. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Morning breaks, the stone is gone. Angels sing a victory song. Grave clothes lie where he once lay. Death defeated, rolled away. The tomb is empty, love has won. The risen Savior, God's own Son. Hope is alive, the veil is torn. He walks with us forever. Voice, the silence filled. He called.
I've seen the Lord. He's alive.
What we discovered later was that an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and rolled away the stone from the entrance of the tomb. The women arrived and discovered the stone had already been removed. Mary Magdalene immediately ran to tell me and Peter, assuming someone had taken Jesus' body. While Mary ran back, the other women entered the tomb and saw an angel who told them, "He is not here, he has risen," and instructed them to tell the disciples. As the other women went to tell the disciples, as instructed by the angel, Jesus appeared to them, greeted them.
"You look like you've seen a ghost."
"Sir, we don't know how to explain what we saw."
"Speak clearly. You were stationed at the Nazarene's tomb, were you not?"
"Yes, sir. As ordered by the chief priests, we sealed the stone ourselves and stood watch all night."
"Nothing happened until just before dawn. The sky was still dark, but suddenly the earth had shook beneath us. The ground trembled. We lost our footing."
"And then we saw him."
"Saw whom?"
"A man. No, not a man, a being. Dressed in light, like lightning itself. His face shone like fire, and his robe was blinding white."
"We fell. We couldn't stand. Our strength left us like water from a shattered jar."
"We watched as he rolled the stone away. Not with effort, he barely touched it. It moved as if it had no weight."
"You say the stone was moved?"
"Yes, sir. Rolled aside, the tomb was open."
"And it was empty."
"Empty?"
"There was no body inside. Just the burial cloths folded neatly on the stone slab."
"You fled your post?"
"We fled the terror, sir. This was not a raid, not a theft. It was something else, something we've never seen."
"We heard. You will silence this report."
"They saw something, High Priest, something powerful."
"Here, take this silver. Say the disciples stole the body while you were asleep."
"But we were not asleep."
"Do as you're told. If this reaches the governor's ears, we'll keep you safe. Just remember the story."
"The Nazarene said he would rise."
And so, the truth was buried under lies, even as the tomb stood empty. But some stories refuse to stay hidden.
"Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground." He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide.
To be continued.